Again, I want to say thank you to all of those that were involved in the ministry last night. It was a great success. Thankful that we were blessed with the opportunity that God has given us to minister to those who are less fortunate than we are. This week, we once again celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Of course, the actual date is unknown. No one knows when that all took place. But when it took place doesn't matter so much as the fact that it did take place. I want to encourage each of you to sit down and read the story again. Read it with fresh eyes. Read it as though you've never read it before in your life. Because I think that once we do that, then we may be able to recapture the excitement of that event. I feel sometimes that we become so familiar with God that we've lost that sense of wonder about God. We've become familiar with biblical passages and truths that we fail to be able to appreciate those truths and the great things that God has done. The loss of that sense of wonder and appreciation impacts us in a negative way as we think about things such as God coming into our world. And when did you last time you sit down and just thought about that story? That really gave it some consideration. That God steps down from His throne and comes to our world in a form of a human being. We talked in class that it's one thing to study the life of Jesus from a historical perspective, as we do, but it's quite another thing when you live that event. Because we sometimes almost dehumanize Jesus. Now, I hear people say, you know, I wish I could have lived during that time. Things would have been so much different if I'd have been there and done this or that or the other thing. And my response to that is, that's hogwash. You would do exactly what everybody else did. But from our perspective, we sometimes create a Jesus that in some respects is not real. You know, I love the songs that we sang there. But there's that one line in that one song there says, radiant beam from thy holy face. No. There were no radiant beams coming from Jesus' holy face. He was a baby. He was a baby just like this baby. Well, that baby's gone. But just like Olivia was. there was nothing different about him. In fact, Isaiah talks about him as being just like everybody else. And I'm off my notes a little bit this morning, but I want to go back, leave Luke temporarily and look at the Galatian passage just temporarily, because I'm going to go way back. Paul's writing to the Galatian churches. And the churches in Galatia have lost their way, and it seems like it was just very quick that they lost their way. They're embracing a legalism that has threatened their standing with God and Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. After much discussion of his apostleship, the role of faith, the intent of the law, then Paul unveils a very important truth. And that important truth is that the Galatian Christians are sons of God. That's a phenomenal truth. You understand that? Those Galatian Christians were sons of God. And by extension, so are you. We are all sons of God through faith. But there's a line in that particular text in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And it's where Paul makes the statement that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem those that are under the law. I like that phrase, in the fullness of time. Because what that is basically Paul saying, in God's time, He did what He said He was going to do. The biblical story doesn't begin in Luke chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 1. The biblical story begins centuries ago, long before Paul ever wrote that passage, long before Jesus ever came into the world. The biblical story is a story where God made a promise. Hundreds of years, God spoke to Abraham. Before all of this took place, He speaks to Abraham. And He makes him a promise. And He makes actually three elements of the promise. He said, I will make of you a great nation. In other words, your descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea. There'll be so many you won't be able to count them. And your nation is going to dwell in this land that we know of today as Israel or Palestine. And then He says this, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, I'm not convinced one bit that Abraham understood all of that. I'm not convinced at all that he had a full undertaking of everything that God had just promised him. But that one little phrase, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, was the promise that somebody is going to come into this world and is going to be a blessing to every nation. It was spoken of in different forms. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses talks about the fact that he would be the prophet. He would be the prophet that the Lord your God would raise up for you, a prophet like me, Moses would say, from among you, from your countrymen, you shall listen to him. Yes, there's a prophet that's going to be coming. And from that time on, people were waiting for the coming of the prophet. To where you get down to John chapter 1 and verse 19 and following, and they talk about John the Baptist. The one of the questions they asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet? John says, no, I'm not the prophet. And the prophet they're talking about is the one that Moses mentioned centuries ago. But Jesus was that prophet. The role of the prophet was to point people to God. The role of the prophet was in many ways someone who stood between God and humanity, exposing the sins of humanity and bringing them into a covenant relationship with God. And he would be born of a virgin. Oh, there's been so much discussion about Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. People say, you know, you can't be born of a virgin. Well, Jesus was. And so we've gone into some degrees. We've got two extremes. We've got one extreme that says that's an impossibility. No one could ever be hey, no one could ever be born of a virgin. And then the other extreme is that Mary was a perpetual virgin. There's no question that Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 1 answers that question. But has this great truth ever caused you to stop and think? Jesus coming into the world, born of a virgin, coming in a way that would be very natural. You'd almost think that God would come into this world just exploding the universe wide open and God saying, here I am! And I'm going to set everything straight. Well, that sounds human, doesn't it? It's kind of sounds like the way we would do it. But that's not the way it was. He would be a suffering servant. Again, the prophet Isaiah talks about Jesus being the suffering servant. This seed that was promised to Abraham would be despised and rejected. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, smitten of God. The chastening of our well-being fell on Him. He was crushed for our iniquities. You know, you hate to think about the fact that it was necessary for Jesus to suffer. But you see, Jesus had to suffer. And this is one of the reasons I keep talking about, let's not dehumanize Jesus. Because the day that you dehumanize Jesus is the day you can no longer identify with Him. Jesus came to our world to experience what we experienced, so that we can say, He knows exactly what I'm going through. And God can reach out and touch us and embrace us and understand us. He would be the anointed one. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, he talks about how the anointed had been on him, and Paul and Jesus talked about that in the synagogue. Thus we find Jesus will fulfill the role as the Messiah, the anointed one. He will be and was God for all the people. That was a great promise that was made, and obviously I didn't even cover the highlights. There was a lot of Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. But what is great is that God fulfilled the promise. You wonder sometimes about how the people must have thought about all of this. Has God forgotten? The people are economically depressed. God's religion has fallen into hands of those that were more concerned about tradition than truth. Has God forgotten? Has God forgotten about the promise? Not at all. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. When the time was right, when it was in God's timing, His conception was unexpected. What happens when someone's promise goes unfulfilled? If someone makes you a promise and they don't fulfill the promise, what happens? Do you stop believing? Do you stop believing in that individual's promises? made promises before but didn't keep them then. What makes me think he's going to keep them now? I suppose many of the people beginning to lose faith in God. But I think about another promise. Remember the promise Jesus said as he was on the Mount of Olives? He told his disciples, I'm going to come again. Well, how long ago was that? Well, when you think, consider it, you're looking at over 2,000 years. Do you believe he will? Do you believe he's going to come again? Or have you stopped believing? God is not subject to human wishes or our agendas. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. And then he finds out that Mary is carrying a child. Now here we are 2,000 years removed from that. We can handle it. Joseph couldn't handle that. Joseph couldn't believe that his wife-to-be is carrying someone else's child. Joseph couldn't come to terms not only with the fact that she was with child with somebody else, but the fact that the humiliation that goes with that. You see, in those days, it was embarrassment. It was a humiliation. And that's why the Bible says that he loved her so much that he wanted to just quietly put her away. For all practical purposes, they were married. And so he was quietly going to put her away. And it took an angel coming to him at night to stop the process. Don't do that, Joseph. Don't do that, Joseph, because the child that she is carrying is of the Holy Spirit. So you see what God just got through asking Joseph to do? He said, Joseph, I want you to face that humiliation. I want you to face that embarrassment. Yeah, there are people that are going to wag their tongues at you, and they're going to say things about you. And they're all going to be ugly things, and they're going to say things probably about her. But Joseph, I want you to handle that. I want you to deal with that. Don't you dare put her away. And there's indication as you read the New Testament, particularly in the life of Christ, there is some indication. For instance, when they say, you hear the accusation, we were not born of fornication. Well, what do you think that's a reference to? Mary carrying a child before she was married to Joseph. But Joseph takes on that humiliation. And I think if you and I were there, we would probably say, you know, this is not what I expected. This is not the way I thought God would fulfill this promise. This is not exactly what the way I conceived this taking place. You ever been surprised by God? When He does something you weren't expecting? Or you've been praying about something and you've got an answer, but you're so caught up in the way you want that thing answered that you totally miss the answer that God gives you. Oh, God's full of surprises. and He loves to surprise you. His arrival was quiet. No great announcement for this individual. Nowadays, Kate Middleton can't even go out the door without having everybody in the world knowing about it. Pictures of her pushing her carriage and so on and so forth, and etc. Not Jesus. Born in a stable, no one in attendance except what animals might be there. And God steps into our world, into a barn. Born of a woman as a baby, He enters our world. His announcement was private. And I love the fact that God selected shepherds to hear the announcement. And the reason I like the fact that He selected shepherds is because there were probably few people that were looked more on disdainfully than shepherds were. They were always considered dishonest. They were always considered as individuals that you could never trust and so on. And yet that's the very people that God came to and made the announcement that Jesus was born into the world. There they are on the Judean hills talking about things like price of sheep, wool, mutton. They're probably talking about that idiot that's down there in Caesarea named Pilate that's making life miserable for everybody. Someone needs to cut his head off. And then maybe they're even talking about some of the Pharisees and how they're so frustrated with them because they've made life miserable religiously. Not even sense of going to the temple anymore. You can't pay the tax. You can't pay anything there because it costs you. You can't offer your sacrifice because it costs you too much to go there. There's no sense of going there. Those guys have made life miserable. And then suddenly the sky opens up. And the angels appear. Glory to God in the highest. What an announcement. What an announcement that was. Go to Bethlehem. Go to the stable. And there you will find Him. Isn't it strange to you that they went? Seriously. Would you have gone? Oh, yeah, I'd have been there in a heartbeat. No, you wouldn't. I got an idea. They may have even debated it a little. Did you? And so, you know, well, you can't deny the angels, that's for sure. So maybe we better go check this out. They go to Bethlehem, and there they find the child. God continues to fulfill promises. The arrival of Jesus in the ancient world is not the end of the story. Because remember, when Jesus came into the world, you'll notice that He only went to the Jews. He didn't go to the Gentile world, He went to the Jewish world. But remember the phrase, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because when Jesus went to the cross, He tore down the middle wall of partition. He took of the two and made them one new man and made us the new Israel. And we are now sons of God. Isn't that awesome? Paul talks about we've received the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into God's family. We've been born again into God's family. What a privilege. Because of the seed that was promised to Abraham thousands of years ago, became a reality. And now we are sons of God. We're now free to call God our Father. And you know, so Paul uses the word Abba, Father. The word Abba is a very endearing term. It's much like what we would use the term Daddy. Now, you don't think about that too much because you use the word Father all the time. Well, they used the word Father too, but it was never, ever used in reference to God. The Jews never talked about God being their Father. Not until later. And we have become joint heirs with Christ. This whole story is something that should cause us to wonder. Step back and to think about that. It's a mystery. Gods don't come to this world. We create gods. But they don't come to this world. No, that's not the way it's done. We build them with our hands. And we bow down to them. And as Isaiah the prophet talks about, we take half the tree and we burn it, we cook it, we get warm with it, and the other half, we build it into an idol and we bow down and worship it. That's what humanity does, but that's not what God does. In God's time, He reached out to us in grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we are free to fully live for Him. My prayer for you is this. And I'm serious about this. My prayer for each of you is that God will unravel His mysteries for you. But never so much that you will stop looking. That God will give you understanding, but never so much that you cease looking deeper. That God will give you a sense of wonder so that you always be filled with amazement of what God's doing. That's my prayer for you. And I pray that as this season continues to unfold, let us not take the story of Jesus coming into the world as just another event. Because there is no greater event that could have ever taken place that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And should create not only a wonder in our hearts, but the fact that God stepped down from eternity and came to our world in order that He might bless us. And I pray that you will be blessed. That God will continue to reach out to you. And that no matter what you face in life, that you will always be filled with His wonder. And that you will be in awe of His greatness. If you accept the invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing?